Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. And now, here are Bob and Richard.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. My name is Bob Dancer.
And I'm Richard Munchkin.
Our guest today is longtime gaming columnist John Robinson. John Robinson is the author of The Slot Expert's Guide to Playing Slots. He's written for Midwest Gaming and Travel, Strictly Slots, Casino Player, Frank Scolbetti's Chance and Circumstance, and the Atlantic City Insider. He has written Ask the Slot Expert column on CasinoCityTimes.com for more than 20 years. John Robinson, welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
Hi, Bob. Richard, thanks for having me.
Sounds like you need more jobs.
Well, the first half of those, I wrote for all those before. I've known John for more than 20 years. I haven't seen him for 10 years, so I don't know what he's done in the last 10 years. But he's one of the gambling writers, I think, knows what he's talking about. In most casinos, slot machines and video poker machines are both part of the slot department. And I like to think of video poker as the thinking man's game, whereas slot machines are more entertainment devices. John has some thinking things to tell us about slot machines. So, John, what type of thoughts on slot machines would be not normally understood by most players?
Well, some players don't understand exactly how certain events on a slot machine are decided. Like, everything is random, but what they think is being randomly decided isn't necessarily the actual thing that's being decided.
Tell us what you mean.
Yeah, so, right. What does
yeah,
that mean?
I know. Like, one thing would be on a machine called 88 Fortunes and similar machines that have four progressives on them. When you get to the pick'em bonus round on these machines, you're presented with a field of 12 coins. Each coin is associated with one of the progressives. Once you match three coins, you win that progressive. So four progressives, three coins for a match, 12 coins on the field, you think you have a 1 in 4 chance at each progressive. But if you play for a while and look at how frequently you win the different progressives, compare with other players, you'll find that you win the two lower progressives much more frequently than you win the upper progressives. Not a 1 in 4 chance.
What a big surprise.
So what's actually happening here, it is decided at random, but not by your choices. Once you go into that bonus round, the program running the slot machine pulls the RNG to figure out which progressive you're going to win. Then it fills in the field with two coins for each of the three progressives you're not going to get, and six coins for the progressive you will win. So there's only one progressive that has three or more coins there associated with it. Your choices are irrelevant except for how long it's going to take you to reveal the predetermined amount of that bonus that you're going to win. And some of the newer machines that have this thing now even have a statement in the rules that say player interaction during the bonus event has no effect on the amount won. I think it's somewhat deceptive because there are other ways that they can reveal a predetermined amount without giving the impression of you having a 1 in 4 chance at each thing, like a spinning arrow or something like that. But I think the reason that this is allowed is because the player doesn't have any money at risk. You've already won. You can only just win. You know, there's nothing you can lose here. It's like the Wheel of Fortune wheel, too.
Right, right.
Well, there are a lot of... I used to play at Gold Coast, and they have a... they have multipliers or amounts you can win, and I would be playing at a level that I would be expecting to win, let's say, $15 to $25 each week, whereas a player who played less might be normally expected to win $5 to $10 a week, and somebody who played a whole lot more might be getting more. But however I select it, when I when I finished, it says, well, there was a $500 there if you only picked it right. Mm-hmm. So it's the same general idea, but yes. It was clearly not, it was a weighted random or predetermined. I don't know.
I think they like to do that as opposed to, like, the stations sometimes send you these scratch-off tickets, right? Well, with the scratch-off ticket, you know they only gave you $5 or whatever. But if you have the thing on the kiosk where when it's revealed, oh, I could have won the $500, you know, it as you say, it's deceptive.
Yeah, well, something funny happened with the station casino's recent promotion, the pull tabs that they had.
Uh-huh.
Some players, including me, got two mailers.
You sneaky dog. So how did you do that?
Well, it just happened. No one seemed to know exactly why that happened. I just figured that when they were printing these things off, something jammed up. They went back in the sequence and reprinted some without realizing they double printed some of these things. So I looked and there's a really teeny tiny sequence number that's printed on the right above your name and address. So I told them, I have two mailers. Which one should I use? They said, well, bring them both in. And by this time, they knew what had happened. And they said, they're both the same. It doesn't matter. And sure enough, yeah, they both were the same. But at least this way, I knew exactly what I was going to get when I went back there to have them reveal the mystery.
Oh, you could decide whether to even bother to go in based on...
That's yeah, if convenient. You had two. Yeah, there was one time, it wasn't slots. It was... It was a scratcher at the palms. And if you got a high-intensity light and put it behind the scratcher, you could tell what it was going to be. And it just happened the gift of the week. The previous week was high-intensity little handheld light. So a lot of us knew. So if it was five times points, you can bet you're going to go in and get it. If it was a two-for-one buffet... And which they also would have even for people who would get 75% off buffets 24/7 because that was their tier. They could still get a prize of 2-for-1 buffet. Didn't make that trip.
You brought up the Gold Coast. Can I talk about the Young at Heart promotion?
And please do.
The others that they have there like you had. The Young at Heart is their over 50 promotion.
I might get there someday.
And on Wednesdays, you get a mystery multiplier. At the kiosk, you choose from 6 boxes, and whatever value is revealed, the multiplier underneath your box is the multiplier you get. Then they show you very, very, very quickly the ones that you didn't choose. Some of the messages the kiosk has there, they just sit there forever and ever and ever, and there's no way to dismiss them. But the one you really would like to see, that one just goes away very quickly.
But isn't that predetermined? I mean, you really couldn't have gotten those?
Well, yes, you're right. Because I also would usually get 6 times points. And that was week after week, get 6 times points. Then at the Gold Coast, I started hanging out with a bad crowd, Jean Scott and her husband and her friends. And we would always compare what multipliers we got. And we would all get 6 times usually for video poker. And 5 of us getting 6 times points, 1/6 to the fifth, that's 7,766. It's just not going to happen week after week after week. So I was able to get someone within Boyd describe how this works. And they said that it is at random. It truly is determined at random. But once you go to choose the multiplier, their system chooses the multiplier you will get. And it's weighted so the 5 times and 6 times get chosen much more frequently than any of the higher ones.
For everyone?
Yes.
I don't know, because it seemed
as far as I know.
I've talked to people who... So I have a friend who has a girlfriend who plays slots.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Oh, this is strictly the video poker.
Well, but
one.
It gives you both.
Yes, yeah.
Right? So her multiplier would be 10 times video poker and, you know, whatever on slots.
Yeah, that pair is 10 times video poker, 50 times slots.
Right.
And I got that once. And so that's one day that I played a lot of slots, even though I knew it was still probably, well, still definitely negative, but gave me a chance to.
I don't know. Really, do you think if you go into the high roller room and, you know, play a $5 slot, you think they're holding more than 5% or?
Oh no, in those instances, yeah. But I was playing most of the video slots, so.
John, you're smarter than that.
Now, but I need to do it for research purposes.
That didn't help you then subsequent weeks? They didn't give it back to you the 50 times and the, no?
No.
Wow.
No.
But that's limited to like 10,000 coin in or 10,000 points or something, isn't it?
Yeah, as Gene always says, you have to read the rules, and Boyd has been changing the rules quite frequently on that. Right at this moment, or at least let's say last Wednesday, only Samstown had the limit.
Uh-huh.
The others are okay now. You can have unlimited points multiplied.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
And it's been all sorts of different things with 10,000 at Gold Coast in Orleans, who both have the NSU deuces, yes. 25,000 up at Suncoast, which mainly just has 8-5 bonus poker. There's some other higher ones, triple, double bonus, but I never learned the strategy for that one, so I didn't play that one.
Uh-huh.
But right now, as of last Wednesday when we checked the rules, only Samstown has the 10,000 cap.
But the NSU, isn't it only single-line $1 coin? Or do they have better than that?
At Gold Coast now, yeah, the max is $1. Also 25 cents. I think the Orleans still has the maximum of 25 cents.
Wow. So
it's going to take a while to
get. Yeah, it's going to take a while. To...
But you're going to knock yourself out. Don't play more than $25,000 coin in. All right. So slot machines, sometimes are tightened, sometimes are loosened. What do people think about that compared to what is the reality?
Yeah, that's a frequent question that I get. Some people say that the machines are tighter when you use your player's card because they have to pay for those benefits you're getting somehow. Other people say, oh, you know, they loosen the machines when you use your player's card. They want to reward a frequent player. Another situation, well, how crowded is the casino? Midweek, we got to loosen it up so players can see people winning. It's a holiday. We have to tighten them up so we can make more money from the people. And other people say, well, no, they're actually looser on the holidays so players can see more players winning. And I call that the yin and yang of slot machines. Both things can't be true at the same time. So neither are true. The casinos just don't change things willy-nilly based on conditions like
that.
Well,
they can't. Right?
They can't. Changing the long-term payback on a machine may involve changing a chip or a card or a disc in the machine.
Well, it also involves getting approval from gaming.
Right.
If you change the payout, you have to...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in some cases, you change the long-term payback on a machine since the state wants to be able to monitor the performance of this machine. Performance being how much money has this paid out relative to how much play it's gotten. You change the long-term payback on this machine, you've created a new asset. So you have to close out the old machine with the old payback as an asset and then create a new asset with this long-term payback. So, yeah, it just doesn't happen that frequently. And you don't want to make it too easy because you don't want some casino employee to go in and alter a machine so it pays more for his folks, his relatives, and not for others.
Do you know about how the casinos set their theoreticals?
Well, it's based on when they order the machine. It's going to come with the real layout that has that long-term payback, the distribution of the symbols on the reels.
Right. So on the slot machine, if a machine holds 8.3%,
mm-hmm.
they're going to put your theoretical at 8.3%.
Yeah.
On video poker, they have some leeway.
I spoke to, when it was open, of course, the slot director over at the Desert Inn, because at the time I was writing for Gaming Today, and I was the only one talking about the Desert Inn anywhere at that time period, so they said I was their PR department. So I'd gotten friendly with some of the people there, and he said that they generally start with the best payback you can get, and figure that people are going to give up around 5 percentage points with their guesses and hunches and not knowing what to do. And that's what they're looking to get from the machines, what they figure they'll get.
Well, no, I'm thinking, I'm asking more about the Players Club.
Right? Oh.
So you have a video poker machine that has, you know, 20, 50 games on it, and they can't set a different theoretical for every single game. So do you have you been able to wheedle any information about how those theoreticals are set, or how we can gain knowledge of what their theoreticals are?
The reports I've been able to see through some of the work I do as a consultant and expert witness haven't been to that level of detail. So I don't know if they actually, if the machine at this point is even able to report back to the slot accounting system which machine is in play, or which game, which pay table is being played. At one point, the conversation, the protocol between the two, the slot club system and the reader and the slot, the machine itself, wasn't that big a conversation. They didn't have a lot of things they could talk about. So it pretty much just sent meter readings back and forth without regard for what pay table was in play. They may have enhanced that conversation now to actually be able to say which game the player's playing.
They have. Let me jump in here. First of all, it does depend on the player tracking system and how new it is and what the brand is. So if we're talking about an individual game, so they can tell whether you are playing 8-5 bonus or 9-6 jacks. There are systems that will allow them to do that. Then they're going to set it by the per game basis. On the loosest games, which those would be the loosest games at Mini Casino, the theoretical is pretty close to real, meaning on 9-6 jacks, which is, we'll say, it has a 0.5% house edge. The theoretical is going to be set to 0.5% on the loosest games.
So all the players who do not play perfectly are really kind of getting screwed then.
Yes. And games which have a... So there are machines where 8-5 jacks, which is 97.3, so that would be a 2.7% hold. Those are going to get higher holds, maybe 4%. Because the casinos rightly figure anybody who's stupid enough to play 8-5 jacks or better has no clue as to what they're doing, and so they're going to be making lots of mistakes. So the closer it is to 100%, then more people like me tell you how to play it, and people practice it on a software. People don't practice 8-5 jacks. They do practice 9-6 jacks. So if you're a player and you have a choice between the same game, 9-6 jacks, on a standalone machine or a machine with 20 other games on it, you're better off playing it on a machine with 20 other games on it, because sometimes those are, you get an average theoretical because the whole game, because it's a mixture, and maybe you're going to get 1.5% theoretical on the play of that game. If you have it on a standalone game, so the only game on that box is 9-6 jacks or better, the casino is going to put it at whatever it wants to, and you don't want that. There are casinos in the Caesar system, probably others, where the games where they have 9-6 jacks on them it takes $20 to $50 coin in to get one reward credit, whereas regular video poker takes $10 coin in to get one reward credit. So they put their looser games on these special boxes. Now, that's as much as I know about it. Is that inconsistent with anything you know, John?
No, it isn't.
Okay. So.
You know, I just want to mention, there's only one instance I know of where a casino has actually done a mass change of their long-term paybacks, and that was Mandalay Bay. because when they first opened with the Acres bonusing system, different areas of the casinos were set up so you could win different prizes. Yes. Maybe a car here. I don't know what the other ones were, because this would have been around 2000 or something. So I don't think we had flat screen TVs there at that point that at least were affordable.
There were bonuses on everything.
Every area had some sort of bonus associated with it.
Yes.
But players didn't understand what this was all about. It was a lot of confusion. So they got rid of all that bonusing. But now they were able to raise the long-term paybacks on the machines because they didn't have to pay for those prizes that were being given out. You know, they wanted to run, say, an 8% hold quarter floor. And now that part of that payback to the players wasn't in the prize that they got, well, they could raise the long-term paybacks on the machines.
Yeah, because they started out holding like 16%.
But, it wasn't that high.
But they gave you back some bonuses. And if you didn't get the slot machine players can't really tell the difference between a 7% hold machine and an 8% hold machine. They feel pretty much the same. But you can tell the difference between an 8% and a 16%. Mm-hmm. And so players who did not understand that, well, you know, they had this chance for the bonus. They just didn't hit it this time. They could understand their money went a lot faster than it did anywhere else. So it was not a popular beginning. So they cut off the head of Lenin, and then they loosened up the machines. There was a the statue of Lenin in front of the Red Square nightclub, restaurant, whatever that was.
Right.
Got chopped down by the probably by the casino management. I'm not sure.
I was at a seminar once with some guys talking about paybacks on their machines, and they said that we tried an experiment one time. We had this carousel of five machines, and they said, well, let's make them just 97%, say, but let's make one 95%. See if anyone figures out that this one isn't paying back as much as the others. And no player ever complained that this one didn't seem to pay as well as the others. Because like you said, players, you can't tell that difference. And really, players don't experience long-term payback. The casino does. Players experience hit frequency. That they'll know right away. But long-term payback takes so long to play out that unless you play an awful lot.
Or, well, and depending on how big a difference it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's usually not that big.
Okay. How are Class 2 machines different than Class 3 machines?
Yeah, you know, writing this column used to be so easy because there was Tunica, Atlantic City, and Nevada. Tunica's rules were based on New Jersey's and Nevada's. New Jersey was based on Nevada. Everybody had pretty much the same thing. It was so much easier. Then now Class 2 games came in at the Indian casinos, VLTs, video lottery terminals at the racinos. Every state has their own kind of spin they want to put on this. Casinos have to be over water. You can't bet money. You have to get a stored value card. Just made it so difficult now.
Are you saying life is tough if you're a slot expert?
Yes, it is. So I frequently have to put this disclaimer in answers that this applies only to Class 3 games. If you're in another jurisdiction with different kinds of games, your mileage may vary. So rather than having an internal RNG that determines the results independently of anything else, the Class 2 games will operate like a bingo drawing. And you actually fill in a bingo card, and depending upon the pattern that's filled in, that's what you're going to win. And it's not your typical bingo pattern, the cover all, the four corners, the X, the I, whatever it is. It's really bizarre patterns that are there. Just this box, this other box over here. And that's how it's determined.
As a player, is that a noticeable difference, in your opinion?
I don't think so. I don't have a lot of experience with the Class 2 games. But a 95% payback machine is a 95% payback machine, regardless of how the result's being determined.
All right. Now, the Class 2, is that a designation of the Johnson Act or the Indian Gaming Regulatory Act, or do
Indian Gaming Regulatory Act defined all those classes of gaming. Class one, just friendly games. Class two, now bingo, things like that. And class three, the Las Vegas style games.
All right. In your notes, you said to ask you about fruits in England. Now, I'm not exactly sure what you meant by this. But...
All right. One thing that's common among all these jurisdictions is the principle that the randomly determined decision is the one we will display to you, and it will not be altered in any way. Unlike if we go back to the 80s, the Universal games with the secondary decision, that when this machine said that, well, you're going to have a losing spin. So rather than showing you blank, blank, jackpot, why don't we show you jackpot, jackpot, blank instead? Because that's a lot more exciting than being out of the game right away, seeing a blank on the first reel. So it would substitute more exciting losing combinations than the one that was randomly determined. That was the secondary decision. Out in England, now, they want to guarantee a profit for the pub owners. So the machines that they have in the pubs, they usually call fruit machines. And these have a governor function in them that's going to look at the performance of the machine over time, and it's going to keep it in a very narrow range. So if the machine has paid back too much, it's going to tighten up the machine going forward. And if it hasn't paid out enough, it's going to pay back a little bit more. Something like this is completely illegal in the United States. You can't do this.
But a lot of
wait, would that become exploitable then? If, I mean, you hear players say things like, oh, this machine hasn't hit in so long, it's due, right? Well, it sounds like in England that may actually be the case.
Yeah, no, we looked online, you know, others, myself, no one's been able to actually get the algorithm that's being used. So unless you actually knew what had happened in the past, I don't think you could exploit that. You'd have to know that the machine hadn't paid the jackpot in a while and it was due to hit that.
Well, if you're the bartender for 8 hours a day.
Right.
Yeah.
And even if it's a, let's say it's a 94% game and it hasn't hit for a while, so they're going to bump it up to 96%. It's not exactly what we call exploitable. All right.
Yeah.
We're talking to John Robinson. We're going to take a brief commercial break, and we're going to be back with John momentarily.
The South Point has more than 10,000 games returning 99%. This is more than anyone else has. In March, the monthly promotion is geared towards players who already receive a mailer. Rather than picking up your usual free play from Tuesday through Thursday, now you pick up your normal free play Monday through Wednesday, and you get the same amount of free play on Friday or Saturday. If you pick up all 8 periods in March, you receive twice the amount of your regular free play on Monday, April 2nd. So instead of 4 pickup times, there are 9 for a total of 10 times your normal mailer instead of 4 times. The 10th week of free video poker classes, it will be on Tuesday, March 13th, beginning at noon, the Silverado Lounge. And it's called What Video Poker Players Need to Know About Slot Clubs. This class catalogs different aspects of slot clubs, some of which are more important to some people, some more important to others. It compares and contrasts how different casinos run things differently and compares the different local casinos in Las Vegas. The class is free. If you're at least 21 years of age, you're invited. The Silverado Lounge is the first one you come to once you reach the casino from the parking elevators. At videopoker.com, it's the best place to play lots of games. If you sign up for Gold membership, $8.95 a month or $79.95 a year, this allows you to get correction on most of the games. The game of the week is Super Triple Play Jackpots. This is a 7-coin per line triple play variation where you get wheel spin for every 4 of a kind on non-wildcard games. There's also Progressive, which is awarded, perhaps for a dealt royal. To make the math work, you get different than usual payouts for full house, flush, and straight. This requires a separate strategy for this game. In addition to get accurate strategy, you need an average amount for the wheel spins, which I currently do not have. Since wheel spins only come around every 420 hands or so, the amounts are not equally weighted. It's going to take a while to get enough data to determine what this average spin is.
All right. We are back with John Robinson. So station casinos, how does their big time bonus work?
Yeah, that's a...
Well, first we should start with what is the big time bonus?
Yeah, a promotion that they've been running now for probably 3 or 4 months. And this is in danger of becoming what Gene Scott has referred to as an entitlement, a promotion that they keep running and running that now players are going to be upset if they ever stop running it. So the way this works is there's a counter displayed for each property. And there's a on the screens at each property, they show the counters for each of the different properties. Each property has its own counter. It's running from $10,000 to $20,000. At some point, the value of the counter is awarded to a player.
So it's sort of like a must hit.
It is a must hit. So how do they make this must hit and still make it random? Well, when the system is initialized or when it resets, their progressive controller chooses a number at random between $10,000 and $20,000. That number is highly guarded. You can't get to it. You need keys, passwords, whatever. No one can figure out what this number is. And then as the players play, a certain portion of their bet is going to get added to the counter. That's the number that you see displayed on the screen. And once that counter reaches or goes above the trigger value that was chosen at random, that's when that bonus is awarded.
And who is it awarded to?
Yeah, well, that's kind of difficult sometimes to figure out.
So say there are 1,000 players in the casino all playing when it hits.
Usually it goes to the player whose bet pushed the running counter to the trigger value or over. And then everybody else wins some sort of free play in this promotion. Stations also had another one, which much bigger numbers. I think it was 25,000 to 50,000. And that was just random. That was awarded to one single player. I don't know if there was any other participation. I don't remember for the players who were playing when that got hit. In the rules, they say it would be awarded to a randomly selected active player. So I don't know if that's going to be the player who pushed it the counter above, or whether they really are just going to look at everyone who's playing and pick one person who is active to give them the jackpot.
So that is key. If you are a if it's your number who put it over and you're a dollar player, you're going to have four times a chance to win as the guy next to you playing quarters.
Right.
If it's just playing at the same time, you don't have four times a chance. Mm-hmm. That would be really nice to have that information.
Right. Yes. And it would also be nice to know how much of your bet goes toward the jackpot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can tell you it's a really, really, really small amount, and that's divided by 1,000. So it's now lifetime. I have won one of those at a station back when I was a welcome player. Somehow, when I started to announce publicly that they kick out more players than most of the other casinos put together, they didn't like that for some reason. So I'm significantly restricted from there. But I did hit one for $97,000. They called it the Time Jumbo Jackpot. At the time, which was maybe 15 years ago, when it did go off, it went off relatively often in the high limit room, which told us that the amount of play, like somebody's betting $25 at a time, had, you know, five times the chance of somebody betting $5 at a time. So, because if that wasn't true, they wouldn't all be going off in the high limit room on a regular basis. So whether that is still the process or not, nobody really knows. They've had plenty of time to make changes since then.
Yeah.
All right. How do slots randomly trigger various bonus events.
Yeah, a lot of slot machines now have these, well, randomly triggered bonus events. On The Simpsons, there's the monorail bonus and various other things. I used to play this Lord of the Rings machine a lot that had an archer bonus that would show up at random times. And in the rules, they say the more you bet, the more frequently the archer bonus will get triggered. So the way that works is the machine pulls the RNG to figure out where to stop the reels. Then it does another pull to determine if any of these bonus events are going to be triggered. And in that processing there, they can make certain events more likely if you're betting more money and that kind of thing. This isn't a secondary decision. This is an additional decision. So that's why this sort of thing is allowed. It's still determined at random, has nothing to do with the symbols on the reels. Hmm.
I guess I'm having trouble with the definition. It's not secondary, but it's additional.
Yeah.
So go. Can you rephrase that, or what does that mean again? What did you say?
Well, we've already determined what's going to land on the pay line, or okay, pay lines. But now there's a possibility that we'll have an additional bonus event that's triggered. And this isn't clearing anything up, is it?
So how is that different than a secondary decision?
We're not changing anything about where the reel stopped. We're just now making another decision, another aspect of the game, to see whether you're going to win this one. So maybe you won a certain amount on the reels, but now maybe you'll win some money on this bonus event, which isn't triggered by any kind of a reel combination. It's just randomly triggered at various times while you're playing.
So, but it has to do with the amount you're playing. So if...
They can do that, and frequently you'll see in the rules that bet higher amounts to have these bonus events triggered more frequently.
Is it like if Richard is playing one of these machines... a fat chance, and he's playing max coins, and I see that, and he leaves because he's disgusted, he's losing, and I can come in and play a small number of coins. Am I still getting credit for his max coin bets, or do they know I'm a new player, or how does it know?
Yeah, it's all based on the amount that you bet.
On the current hand.
On the current bet, right. So once we determine where the reels stop, we do this additional pull of the RNG, and however it figures out, there's another table in there that says, okay, well, we got back the number 2 million from the RNG. Well, this means the player doesn't get anything, but it might mean the player gets to play the monorail bonus. There might be different tables that are used. So there are more numbers from the RNG, which will trigger the bonus when you bet more. So when you bet more, we use the table that has more bonus events filled into it and fewer losers.
All right. So in this particular case, Richard is useless to me.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, you start fresh, or just completely, just like every spin is determined at random without regard for what has happened in the past, this is the same thing. This bonus is determined without regard for what's happened in the past.
All right. So how often do you get asked really bright questions of, is it true that the machines next to the restroom are looser?
That question has kind of died off in the last 10 years.
That's surprising, because well, I still get that question.
Yeah. Not that frequently anymore, and part of it could be just because players are looking now more for entertainment than to win money. And I think that was the result of a survey in Casino Player 15 years ago or something, that the question was, why do you play slots? And it used to be to win money, then for entertainment, and then that kind of shifted around. And entertainment came in first, and winning money came in second. But I think another reason is that the slot floor has changed a lot. in the last 20 years. The slots are so much more entertaining to play than they were before. There's a book called Slot Machines, The First 100 Years of Pictorial History, I think, Marshall Fay. On the front, they have a picture of Bally's, the slot floor in Bally's Park Place when it first opened. And it looked like a warehouse. There were just rows and rows of slot machines, maybe 18, 20 machines in between the aisles. And the slot design seminars, slot floor design seminars I've gone to, they say people don't feel comfortable playing in the middle of one of these areas. They feel like they're trapped there. They can't escape. So today we do the slot floor much differently. You'll find mainly just little areas of five or six machines, and you're never really on display anywhere. You're seen, but not on display. And that was one of the things you needed for the loose machine placement, at least according to Mr. Handel, I think the name was, the guy that Frank Scasbledi had interviewed in Atlantic City, that they wanted to put the loose machines in highly visible areas so all the slot players can see this person winning. And those sorts of areas just don't exist anymore, not when we've redesigned the slot floor to make more intimate areas in which to play. So we have the slot floor design change. The machines are much more entertaining, the high-resolution graphics, the sound, the rumbling seats, all that kind of fun stuff. And then the built-in incentive to keep playing, the bonus round. You want to get to that bonus round for the first time, or you want to get there again when it has multiple bonus events. You want to experience all of them. So now there's this built-in incentive to keep people playing. We don't need to try to figure out where to put loose machines to get people to play.
But they do still put tight machines in places where people are captive, like the machines next to the line to get into the buffet.
Or they should put them next to the bingo halls, because bingo halls are, they're just killing time before the next bingo mm-hmm. game starts, and these are not...
educated gamblers?
That's a good way to phrase it.
Well, I can't say that no slot director is still not using a loose placement philosophy, but generally today I think they just want to be able to put machines anywhere. If they're going to run a 92% payback floor for quarters, you know, all the machines are going to be about that amount, so they can put any machine wherever they want it to be. They don't have certain number of machines. Well, we can only put these up in the bingo area because they hold so much more than the ones on the main slot floor. There may be some who still do it. I don't know how prevalent that is today.
Mm. So in terms of entertainment, the is it true that branded slots where there's a cut going to somebody else are tighter? For example, I'll pick one at random, the Ellen DeGeneres slots, where you will hear her voice come out and say kind of cute things that she says. Mm-hmm. And so presumably she's getting a cut out of that somewhere. And if they're going to give her, I'm picking a number, 1%, which might be way off either way, then that game's got to be 1% tighter.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, is that a general rule that is true, that so no-name slots are tend to be looser than branded slots?
Well, they certainly have the potential because there are fewer hands in that pot there who want a portion of the win from the machine. Whether a casino is necessarily going to say, okay, our non-licensed games will do 95%, but we can only do 94% on the licensed games. They might just do 94% and just let it go at that.
All right. There was a couple of years, well, more than 10 years ago, places were considering Bob Dancer video poker machines. And so I was thinking at the time, well, if I could get a 0.5% off of everything, you know, that would be good. And then, but...
You think?
But anything with my name on it has got to be pretty loose to start with, because those are the games I teach, and there's just not room to give me a half percent on games like 9-6 jacks or better or whatever. So it never could figure out so I could become a zillionaire and still the game be given away the store. So never came to fruition.
Well, do you know what the royalty fee is to Action Gaming for all of those?
Well, it has been. Well, videopoker.com is one of our sponsors. And so they got $15 a day and sometimes $25 a day per machine. And so there have been a lot of slot directors who it really ticks them off to write a check to Action Gaming for $30,000 or $50,000 or $100,000, because every triple play machine, 100 play machine, spin poker, there's a lot of these different varieties. And what is true, though, is that a triple play machine will outperform a Game King machine. So even if they're paying $15 a day, they're still making more money by having that game in the casino.
But that doesn't mean they don't still resent it.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. But so right now, some of the earliest patents for triple play have expired. So WMS has, which is now called Scientific Games, or was rather bought out by Scientific Games, has some machines that are pretty close knockoffs to triple play or 100 play, and they've not done as well. So there's something that videopoker.com is doing right, and still casinos are willing to pay that bonus, and players are preferring to play the
it looks like a video poker machine, but the WMS games somehow just don't look like video poker machines to me.
All right. So we've been talking to John Robinson, mainly about slots, some video poker. It's been interesting. Good to have you here. Thank you. Come back and visit us again. Richard, thank you for being here. Go out and hit a royal flush, everybody. Good day.